Grace be multiplied to you in peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text we find written in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 52. Words of Jesus, where He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So far, our text. In the name of Jesus, our all-compassionate Savior, dear friends, notable teaching method that Jesus used during the days of his ministry was storytelling. He was a master storyteller. And he did this, of course, not to entertain listeners, but so that he might bring home to their hearts in a way that they could latch onto more easily important truths that he wanted them to know for their lives as his disciple followers here in this present world and then in the eternal world that's to come. Today's text contains four mini parables of Jesus that he intends also for our instruction, for our faith's strengthening as his 21st century disciple followers. And in each of them, he teaches things relating to the very important subject of the kingdom of heaven. Or in the words of our theme, what is the kingdom of heaven like? So let's unpack these parables as best we can in the limited time we have together this morning. And let's learn from Jesus that the kingdom of heaven is like buried treasure and a priceless pearl. It's like a dragnet filled with both good and bad fish. It's like a homeowner who possesses a treasure trove of old things and new things for his own use and enjoyment and for doling out to others for their blessing too. So we pray as we begin our discussion, sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth, your word is truth. Amen. So let's begin with the first two mini parables. Jesus, in the first of the two, he tells the story of a man who, while digging out in his field, of which he perhaps was the renter, unexpectedly discovers a treasure that somebody had buried in the ground. May have been that the previous owner of this land parcel had buried that treasure, but then had died before informing anybody about it. Be that as it may, now this man, he's out in that field, he's doing some digging, and he discovers it. And then he quickly covers it back up to keep it safe. And then he sold everything that he had to buy that parcel of land with the treasure. The second mini parable, Jesus tells of a wholesale merchant who, dissatisfied with the pearls he'd been able to obtain up to that point, went on a search for the very best, and in the course of his quest, found an exceedingly rare specimen, so exquisite that he also was willing to sell everything he owned just to buy that extra special pearl. In both parables, we see how Jesus compares his kingdom, which he founded by his death and resurrection and rules over in the hearts of his people by his gospel word, to items of exceedingly high value. And he's picturing also the quest, especially in the second of the many parables, the quest all people are involved with during their earthly lives. Everyone's a treasure hunter. They're searching for something that will answer the deepest yearning of their hearts and that will provide them with true happiness. Been that way ever since the fall into sin in the beginning. There's been that empty spot in the hearts and lives of all people because everyone by nature is separated from God by their sin. And God has planted into the hearts of all people a natural knowledge of Him, that there's a God, there's right and wrong, there's a final day of reckoning. And He's also given all people that thing called the conscience that bears witness to His existence, accusing them of wrongdoing or excusing them, causing a deep spiritual restlessness, searching for what's missing, something to fill that void. That explains, friends, why wherever you travel on earth, or whatever period of history you examine, virtually every people has had a god or gods that they have worshipped. And also why, when many mainline Christian denominations veer away from preaching the precious gospel of Christ crucified and risen, and rejected the Bible as the verbally inspired word of God, the only source of religious truth, why so many cults have sprung up with man-made beliefs about God and a way to get right with Him on their own. And also why many try to fill that empty spot in their hearts with earthly pleasures and things that money can buy. But you know this, no system of religion based on work righteousness, no cult religion invented by man, no amount of money can bring a person's soul real happiness. The joy these things provide, just a mirage or a temporary fix. True blessedness comes only through the knowledge that you have a gracious Heavenly Father who sent His Son Jesus in love to make good for your sins, to bestow on you the treasure of His forgiving love and a close relationship with Him that's never going to end. That's why, and you can see this during Jesus' ministry, two examples doling out these treasures to people. Remember the story of the paralyzed man brought to Him on a stretcher by his friends? First thing Jesus said to him was, remember, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you, before healing his body. And why that man went home carrying his bed, truly happy, not only with a healthy body, but especially with a healthy soul. Another example, when Jesus told the sinful woman, remember that story? He came into the home of Simon the Pharisee and wept Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven you as a repentant child of God. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And she left with a happy bounce in her steps. That's the preciousness of God's kingdom, a prayer we also want to keep praying, given the materialistic world we live in, where many try to find joy in the wrong places. We want to pray, wisdom's highest, noblest treasure, Jesus, can be found in you. Let me find in you my pleasure, make my will and actions true. Humility there and simplicity reigning, in paths of true wisdom, my steps of her training. If I learn from Jesus this knowledge divine, then the blessing, the treasure of heavenly wisdom is mine. And not only is this treasure of God's gracious rule in our hearts with his forgiving love so precious, it's also, because it is so precious, worth making sacrifices for, to obtain and to keep. It's especially brought out by Jesus in the second of the two mini parables. It's worth getting up early, maybe losing some sleep time on Sunday morning to come to God's house to get. Worth setting time aside to watch services and to hear the word online and live streaming when we cannot be at God's house. It's worth giving up personal comforts and advantages, you parents, to help your children to acquire it. It's worth setting time aside from a hectic work schedule to sit down with your Bible and to read it, and to rejoice to know that as we seek God's kingdom first, he'll add all the things of lesser value that we need for our earthly lives and our children's earthly lives too. He's not going to shortchange us. Paul told the Corinthians, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. But let's go on to the next parable where Jesus teaches more about God's kingdom. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. It was quite natural for Jesus to use an illustration like that when talking to fishermen who used fishing gear perhaps just like that on a daily basis. Dragnets were, they were a big square net with cords at each corner with floats on top or corks and weights on the bottom edge so that it hung, as it were, upright in the water. And then when the boat began to move through the water, the net was then drawn into the shape of a big cone into which many varieties of fish were caught. And then the fishermen would drag that net ashore, carefully sort through their catch, discard the useless fish, perhaps the carp or the catfish, keep the good ones, the trout, the tilapia, put them into vessels. Meaning of that parable? By the sea, Jesus is picturing the vast world, and by the fish, the people. The casting of the net into the sea is the preaching of his word, by which God captures people for his kingdom, that they might live for his praise and serve him now, and live with him and serve him in great joy in heaven. The fishermen are his Christians. Remember what Jesus said? I'm going to make you fishers of men. And as Christians cast the gospel net, the sharing of the word of the Lord, all kinds of folks are gathered into the visible church. That is, into visible Christian congregations like St. Paul and all the other visible churches that there are in the world. And then the time is coming when the fishing work will be done, the net drawn ashore on the last day, and when the Lord will use, as Jesus says, his angels to separate the bad from the good, that is, his true believers from those who are only part of the church in an outward way, taking his believers into heaven while discarding unbelievers into hell. By this picture, dear friends, Jesus is reminding us, as he does in lots of places, of the reality of course, heaven, and then also of hell. And we, his Christians, need Jesus to remind us also of not only heaven, but of hell, because we have that sin nature that can lead us astray from the Lord, and we need the Lord in love to warn us about the danger of the sin of hypocrisy, that is, of being content with being just outwardly a part of His church, but not in our hearts truly looking to Him, trusting in Him, and worshiping Him as our Savior from sin and from death. And so we ask Him as His dear believers to help us guard against that sin of, remember another story of Jesus, of the Pharisee and the tax collector? Pharisee in the front of the temple stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you. I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like that tax collector. But we ask the Lord to help us always to keep the blessed attitude of that humble tax collector who stood afar off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, beat his chest in sorrow, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you may recall what Jesus said at the end of the parable, that the tax collector went home blessed beyond measure, possessing the precious pearl and the treasure of forgiveness and life everlasting. That's the faith we ask the Lord to always preserve in us. And we're happy to know that one day His angels are going to gather us with all true believers into His heavenly kingdom for His mercy's sake. There's one other parable Jesus shared that day containing important lessons for our faith lives. It's the one where He says that every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and things old. What's that all about? Here Jesus is teaching us that everyone who has been instructed in the saving truths of His word, as we have, it's like a person who owns a home that is filled with all kinds of valuables, some new, some old. I mean, don't you have maybe some antiques at home that have been in the family for years that are very valuable? Heirlooms and things perhaps you purchased at the store not long ago, maybe a laptop computer, a piece of living room furniture, a shiny kitchen appliance. So what's the meaning of this? It's that God has given to us as Christians many treasures, precious truths of the Bible, both old and new. What do you mean by that? Well, think of the old treasures you possess. Think of the story of Christmas. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Think of the Easter message. He's not here, He has risen just as He said. Or think of hymns that we sing here at church, rich in gospel comfort, many of which have been around for a while. Like, a mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free in every need that has us now or taken. We would call that hymn and many others, oldies but goodies. And we never tire of singing them. We never tire of hearing these truths and sharing them with our children and with each other here at church and with visitors to our worship services, these old blessed truths of Holy Scripture. What about the new treasures? Well, don't think of new in the sense of being just newly given. I mean, God has indeed given everything that we need to know and believe for our lives as His people in the Bible, written long ago by holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But consider, isn't it true, dear friends, that there are truths that have been around for a long time, presented in the Old Testament books written over 2,000 years ago, or the New Testament books way back in the first century AD, so they're not new in time. But when you read them and you study them, or maybe you hear the pastor preach about them, that the Lord leads you to see them in a whole new light. And it's application to your life right now, to comfort your hearts anew, to guide your lives anew. As we just sang in a hymn last Sunday, oh, may these heavenly pages be my ever dear delight, and still new beauties may I see, and still increasing light. Two examples from the Bible, Saul of Tarsus, news of a Savior was promised long past to come and crush the head of the serpent, defeat the devil. It had been shared by God's prophets for hundreds of years. What it meant for Saul of Tarsus personally, he didn't know about, but thanks to the Lord's work in his heart, he was brought from unbelief to faith and from being a Jesus hater into being an eager gospel spreader and a world-class missionary. Man of Ethiopia's story comes to mind when Philip instructed him on the Gaza highway about the Isaiah prophecy long years ago, the lamb who would go to the slaughter without opening his mouth. New light was shed on that man, on the one whom Isaiah had been talking about. And then he confessed his faith in the Savior, got baptized, went on his way rejoicing. A new man. That ever happened to you, reading the Bible? Suddenly the Spirit's leading you to come to view a passage in a new light, to understand it better, how it applies to you. Maybe something you were going through, a difficult time, and all of a sudden, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, took on a new beautiful meaning. Or at a funeral of a loved one, Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Took on a very special, comforting meaning. Very true what one of the Old Testament writers says, that the Lord's mercies may be as old as the hills, but they are new to us every morning. So praise be to our gracious, benevolent, generous God. May he continue to prosper our endeavors to take these treasures of his kingdom, to use them for our blessed comfort, and then also to share them for the blessing of others. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.